Hello, and we're back on Unusual Sources on CFMU 93.3 FM in Hamilton, Ontario. As we mentioned at the top of the show, and well, Brendan just mentioned again, Cynthia McKinney, along with 20 others, were taken captive by Israeli forces. They were on board the Human Spirit, and it was en route from Cyprus to Gaza, bearing humanitarian aid. Today we have with us Sandra Rush, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, who is a member of both the Independent Jewish Voices and Code Pink. She has made many trips to Gaza and recently two trips to Gaza this past year, and she can speak on the precarious position activists have in trying to get into Gaza. Hi, Sandra. Welcome to the show. Are you there?
Hi.
Hi, great. Okay, I'd like to start off by discussing your first trip to Gaza this year, which was in March. You witnessed George Galloway's Viva Palestina convoy. Can you speak a little bit on this? And I know that he's doing another one quite recently. I think he's there now, actually.
Well, at the time, we were, the evening before, we were going into Gaza with Code Pink, and there were about 58 of us. And at that time, in the evening, the Galloway convoy drove past us. And then they got into Gaza the day after we did, with all their aid and their ambulances and all the supplies that they had brought.
Okay. Speaking on that, what is in these convoys, what's the typical aid that's brought over?
It's hard to hear you. Can you say that again?
Oh, sorry. In these convoys, what is the typical type of aid that's brought over?
Well, I mean, the people in Gaza need everything because their borders have been blocked and closed now for over 2 years. So the convoys are bringing everything from ambulances. You know, ambulances were destroyed during the massacre in January. Ambulances were bombed, so there's a shortage of ambulances. There, the Galloway convoy, he had things like diapers and basic foodstuffs, and they need generators. So there were many different things like that.
Yeah, I know Cynthia McKinney actually mentioned that she was bringing crayons to the children of Gaza. I know when the Israeli forces captured the Free Gaza Movement with Cynthia McKinney, their boat, they claimed that they were going to be bringing this aid to Gaza. Do you think these claims are valid, having seen the Israeli forces and their response to people bringing aid over?
Oh, in their ship, the Spirit of Humanity, they were bringing some building supplies like cement, and they had crayons and all kinds of wonderful things. So we know now that the Israelis have it, and we know that the Israelis have said they're going to give it to them, distributed into Gaza on their own. And I'm finding that really hard to believe, and I can't understand why the ship couldn't have entered the Palestinian territorial waters without being kidnapped like that and the boat taken. So whether the Israelis bring the supplies or not, what we know is that at the Erez border, at the very most, they led about 20 trucks in a day.
Well, and,
if that. But, you know, there are reports that say that might get in. But it would never be nearly enough of the supplies that are needed to take care of this population of 1.5 million people, you know.
Well, yes, and there are also a lot of restrictions, I believe, on what aid can be brought in. Can you speak to that?
Well, several months ago, before our, actually, in April, I received a report that said some things like tomato sauce and jam were no longer allowed into Palestine, into Gaza.
Yes.
And, you know, just other things that just appear to be so random, it doesn't even make sense. Just a way of making life more uncomfortable and more unbearable for the people in Gaza.
Yeah, and you were also mentioning, too, that at the Rafah border, there's a lot of aid that is just rotting there, right, because they can't bring it over?
That's right. Just outside of La Riche, which is about half an hour from the Rafah border, there's a stadium, and it's full of humanitarian aid that was not allowed in. This is on the Egyptian side, and I can speak to that because I was able to see it. And also very close by where there's an airport, and you can see these humongous bundles that are wrapped up in heavy plastic of things that have not been allowed in.
Okay. On your next trip in May, you also witnessed another convoy, Project Hopes. You actually saw them sort of go across the Rafah border. Can you speak to what happened to them, sort of the...
Okay, well, you know, it took us, my delegation, it took us 5 days before we got in. And on the second day that we were at the Rafah border waiting and hoping to get in, the convoy from Europe arrived. And there were 40 ambulances, a little over 100 people. Some of them were members of parliament from different countries in Europe. And the gate opened up, and they drove inside. They were then held for more than 24 hours. They were still inside when we arrived the next morning. They were still there the next afternoon. And in the end, I believe all 40 ambulances with whatever supplies were in them got inside, but most of the 100 people were not allowed in. There was just a little over 20.
Okay.
So there's a lot of control that the Egyptians have, and it's a random thing where you think that you have crossed all your T's and dotted all your I's, and you've been told by national security that everything is okay, and then when you get there, it's not. And for us, it was 5 long days before we were able to get in with all the Code Pink delegation.
Yes, I'd like you to talk a little bit about the Code Pink delegation. Who was there with you? What was your mission? What exactly happened to you when you got to Rafah?
Can I just say that when we went in March, there were 58 of us. This is the trip that we went with,
yes,
Alice Walker. And we, on our way out and as we're driving back to Cairo to get our flights home, we said, we need to keep coming back. We have to keep the world's eye on the fact that Gaza is closed, that there's a blockade, and that the people are suffering. So many of us committed to arranging delegations to come back. So in May, on May 22nd, I brought a delegation of 9 Canadians, and a couple of days later, there were a delegation of 38 students. Most of them were international students based in Cairo, and a lot of them were American. There was another group the next day coming in, and they were 15 from New York. And then a few days later, we had 68 people coming from across the United States, and with them was Norman Finkelstein.
And I think Patch Adams, you also said, the famous doctor.
Yes.
Yeah, was
now,
he there?
Patch Adams, that group was also Code Pink, but their plan was to go in through the Erez border in Israel.
Okay, and they were unable to...
They were unable to get in. They were unable to build the playground that they had intended to build inside. None of that. The Israelis did not let them cross.
Okay. What has been your experience with the security forces crossing over in the Rafah border, and just in general with the Israeli security forces?
Okay. When we're in Egypt, we don't see the Israelis. So we understand that a lot of the reason that we don't get in is because of the negotiation between the Egyptian government and the Israeli government. We understand that the Egyptian government is complicit with the demands from Israel and the United States. And so what we see are Egyptian soldiers, Egyptian secret police, Egyptian army, Egyptian police, and they're the ones that are preventing us from going in. And our negotiations are with the Egyptian government.
Okay. I want to know a little bit more about crossing at the Rafah border. It seems to be the best place to get through, but it's also, you know, very problematic. I know that there's a international movement to open the Rafah border that Code Pink is currently supporting. Could you speak a little bit on them?
Yes. They have been there now for, I guess, a few weeks. And after they were there just a couple of days, a general from the Egyptian army arrived. He came up to Paki Whelan. She's one of the women from America that's there, and shook her hand, told her that he was very proud and supportive of what she was doing, and he left. And a few moments later, they found out that the bathrooms at the border, which are already some of the most, they're just in horrid condition, but that they had been locked. And now our latest report tells us that the bathrooms are locked, the water is shut off, there's no electricity there to charge the phones. They've closed the mosque, and they've warned everybody in Rafah and the surrounding area that they shouldn't help anybody that is demonstrating or staying there at the border. And what we think is that they want to see those people out before the Galloway convoy comes through. This is the next Viva Palestina, which left United States on July the 4th. They're in Cairo now and expect it to leave in a few days and head to the Rafah border.
And I just want to make it clear to our listeners that these are Egyptian forces that are doing this.
That's correct.
In Egypt. This is not Israeli forces.
That's right.
That's very interesting. To get back to the Cynthia McKinney case, do you think that it'll make any difference whatsoever that a U.S. congressperson was arrested? There's so many high-profile people that have been detained. You were mentioning before how Patch Adams wasn't even allowed to build a playground. Mm-hmm. Why is the media not paying any attention to this? I mean, the Cynthia McKinney story just seems to be buried under the Michael Jackson news.
Yeah, and yet we don't hear a thing about it. And also, now we have an American congresswoman put in an Israeli prison, and we don't hear the President of the United States speaking out. We don't hear anybody speaking out. As a matter of fact, nobody did, and she was left there. There was no negotiations between the American government and the Israelis that we've heard about. Yet other governments interfered immediately, and some, you know, because this whole group was a very international group. Very interesting to see that the Americans did not move ahead to give support to Cynthia.
Well, I find it really insane that she, I know she did a radio interview with someone while she was in prison, and CNN didn't even play that. They didn't even mention it on the news. It was crazy. If it was any other country and an American, you know, former American congressperson was arrested, I'm sure it would be on the news.
So, you know, it shows my point that we have America, we have Egypt, and they are equally complicit in this blockade and this siege of Gaza.
You've also been very involved in these public displays of protest, including I know that you were arrested at the Israeli embassy. Do you think these initiatives are really working? Is this a good method for activists to be going down, since it seems to be ignored by the media and almost everyone else?
I don't know. All I can say is that when I was watching the news, when I'm listening to the internet, and I see that the Israelis are massacring the Palestinian people in Gaza, I and the many people that were working with us, we just knew we had to do something. We had to do something as outrageous as we possibly could, as outrageous as sitting in at the consulate in Toronto and refusing to move, was how could you do anything else? And, you know, the very sad thing is that while we were sitting there on the floor in the consulate refusing to move, CNN was playing on the television above our heads, mm-hmm. and the numbers of people who had been killed was increasing right before our eyes.
Wow.
So what do you do to stop it? Did it stop it? No. Has it stopped? No. When I'm in Gaza, twice now, I can still hear bombing. I still see people that are suffering. I see the massacre and the devastation and the destruction inside of Gaza, and they don't have the supplies to fix it because nothing can get in. So what can we do?
Yeah.
We have to do something, and yet we're all committed to making sure that it's a peaceful something.
Yes. I know Cynthia McKinney came out really strongly against Obama, saying that, you know, he specifically said that the Israelis should let aid into Gaza, but
yes. Yet
she was arrested. Do you see that maybe there might be some hope on the horizon with this sort of semi-public debate between Cynthia McKinney and Obama?
I don't know, you know, because we can take a look at Obama's words and everything that he said. He said that the Israelis need to stop building the settlements, yet we know for sure that there is an increase in the building going on inside in the West Bank. And we know that there's been increased violence in the village of Bilayin. So we know that all this President Obama is doing is just lip service words. And so I salute Cynthia McKinney, who will at least have the courage as an American, like all the people in Code Pink, to at least stand up and say, we need a lot more than words. We need to do something.
Well, for our listeners, because I think many of our listeners today really would like to do something, so could you give us your URL and your website? Because I know that there's a lot of actions going on that you write about from Gaza.
Okay. They can go on my own site, which is www.miriamswell.spaces.live.com. They can look for me, Sandra Rush, on Facebook. I keep updating as much information as I can. They can be looking at the freegaza.org or the Viva Palestina website.
Okay, that's great, and we'll definitely put your website up on our own website that our listeners can go on and see. Okay, thank you very much. We had Sandra Rush with us from Independent Jewish Voices and Code Pink commenting on the updates in Gaza. We're going to have a quick musical break, and we'll be right back.